Today on Real Radio.
But Peter arose and ran quickly to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. The Bible goes on to say that as that day began to unfold, more and more appearances of Christ were taking place. The news all around Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and on the roadways, Christ had been seen. At one moment, the Bible says, by eyewitness account, over 500 people saw Jesus at one time. By the way, many of those people who saw Christ didn't believe in him, were not followers of his. They were not religious people. Many of them, of course, Roman guards, Roman centurions.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his seasonal series that we've been presenting to you this week. The reason, of course, is that this weekend, Christians celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's the annual recognition of what is arguably the greatest event in history. Jesus of Nazareth, Messiah to the Jews, and now Gentiles as well, rose from the dead 3 days after dying from a brutal Roman execution. Now, his death was significant, as we've addressed earlier this week on Real Radio, as was his resurrection. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation on this topic, the title of which is a traditional declaration Christians express to each other on Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Everybody loves a mystery. I don't know about you, but seems like when there's a movie that comes out, people just love a mystery. And if you happen to see a movie or read a book and you just can't figure it out, then I'm all the more interested. I don't want to get into a movie or get into a book that I can figure it out before I get to the end. I want to have an ending that holds me all the way through to the end of the book. And I want to live a life like that in some areas, in some ways. Like you, I would trust, I want to live an exciting, dynamic, radical life. I could never imagine living life from one day to the next without a challenge or without excitement. It's human nature to get into the same movement over and over and over again. But I tell you, when you live your life for Jesus Christ, it is radical. Every moment of his life when he ministered on earth was radical. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that is a fact. So what we want to consider this morning in our brief time together is examining or exploring the evidence and asking the question, what is it that we find when we look at the evidence of Christ having lived and having been beaten and crucified and being resurrected from the dead? For many of you this morning, it's a mystery still, and you're here and you're not, you know, exactly quite sure what's up and why would all these thousands of people come? Not only here, but around the world on this day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Is it all about Easter bunnies or eggs and all that stuff? Not at all. It's about what Christ has done. And so this morning, I want to invite you to put on, as it were, your detective clothing and your detective goggles and glasses and inspection scope and dive into the claims of Christ and what the Bible has to say about why we would celebrate this day. When we explore the evidence, what is it that we see? And we're going to see this morning that it's Christ, it is God who has done it. And solving this mystery is a wonderful journey in life, and you don't have to wait until the very end to find out. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, "Now on the first day of the week, that Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb and brought spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. But it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about those things, that behold, two men stood them in shining apparel. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, the two men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke when he was with you in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Now listen, everyone, and he shall be crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead.' Then they remembered Jesus' words. Then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the others and to the 11. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to be to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran quickly to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." The Bible goes on to say that as that day began to unfold, more and more appearances of Christ were taking place. The news all around Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and on the roadways, Christ had been seen. At one moment, the Bible says, by eyewitness account, over 500 people saw Jesus at one time. By the way, many of those people who saw Christ didn't believe in him, were not followers of his. They were not religious people. Many of them, of course, Roman guards, Roman centurions. But we're going to look at three main points this morning in our study together. As we explore the evidence, what do we find? We find that the life of Jesus Christ was predetermined. And I want you to mark that in your mind this morning. Jesus Christ, his life was predetermined. The Bible says that Christ's coming and his life was ordained by God the Father. It means this as we look to the gospel account of resurrection morning. That if his life was predetermined, it means this, that you would have to tell about it in advance. That if Jesus Christ was predetermined and his coming was of God, then God would have spoken about it in advance. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Those of you perhaps this morning who may have a Jewish background or a Muslim background, I encourage you to consider the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 4. Where there God challenges us, asking, "Who has ascended into the heavens or descended? And who has gathered the winds in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment? And who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son, if you can tell me?" The Bible says that God has a son. Isaiah 7:14. The great prophet 700 years before Christ was born said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will show you a sign. He'll give you a miracle that the virgin will conceive and bear a child and give birth to a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God is among us. Isaiah 9:6 goes on to say regarding this child that would be born of a virgin, "For unto us a child is born and a son is given. And the governments will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Time, and the Prince of Peace." And Micah, that Old Testament prophet, he said, "Behold, you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the villages of all of Judea, yet out of you shall come forth unto me the one who is to be ruler in all of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting." The Bible says that Jesus' life was predetermined and that he's eternal. Jesus was not just a great prophet. He was a prophet, but he was not just a great prophet. The Bible says that he was the Son of God. The Bible says that God would send his Son into the world. Jesus Christ was foreordained to come into this world. We celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate his life. We celebrate his death for us. Meaning this, that there would be a purpose to his coming. Why did Jesus come? why in all of the world at this very hour, his name is the most famous name in all of the world. You know, for those of you who are old enough, you remember when the Beatles boasted and they said, we are more famous than Jesus Christ. Anybody remember that? Three of us do? That's scary. Well, the Beatles were riding their wave of glory for a moment. Jesus Christ is the most famous person that has ever lived. Jesus Christ, his message of love is preached around the world. And the meaning, the purpose of his coming. If God had foreordained the coming of Christ into the world, becoming a human being, then God would have a purpose. You would naturally use your mind and say, if God did that. Now listen, if you're a skeptic in the house right now, you might be saying, I don't know if I'm a believer, you know. I'm too smart to be an evolutionist, but I don't know if I have enough faith to believe in God. And I need some evidence. I need some proof. God says this, that if he sends his son, he's going to send him for a purpose. What would that purpose be? The book of Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that Almighty God shall see the labor or the travail of the soul of his son and shall be satisfied. And by his righteous servant Jesus shall many be justified, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ is the one spoken of in the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah goes on to say that it's Christ that would bear our sins and that he would make intercession for us. People, look at this right now. This is awesome, and I want to tell you one of the reasons why. Many of us together on mission trips have traveled to various parts of the world, and many people we've talked to, certainly in Eastern Europe and things like that, places like that, people will say, I want to pray, but I've got to go inside of the church to pray. God won't hear me unless I'm in the church. God is hearing you right now. He's hearing your thoughts. He's not confined to a building. That structure behind you, that's just to keep us cool and dry. Wouldn't it be great if God provided a day like this every day? We would just have to rip the roof right off that building. God knows. He's here. He's been with you all along. There was a purpose to the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it himself in John 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father. Listen how narrow-minded that is. Listen how exclusive this is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father also. But from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto the Lord Jesus, show us the Father, and it will make us satisfied. Jesus turned and said to Philip, have I been with you so long now, and yet, Philip, you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. The manifestation of Jesus Christ, if you ever wonder what God the Father might think, read the Bible and see what Jesus thinks. That's what the Father thinks. What does the Holy Spirit think? Read the Bible. See what Jesus thinks. What would God do if a woman was caught in the very act of adultery? Can you imagine a woman in the act of adultery and the roof blowing open and the walls falling down before the city, so to speak, caught in the very act? What would God do? Well, in our standard self-righteousness, we would say, probably send a lightning bolt. But that woman fell at her feet at Jesus in repentance, and Jesus issued to her forgiveness. That's radical. He came with a purpose, and that purpose was to forgive. The fact is that Jesus came and his life was predetermined means this also, that if that's true, there would be corroborating evidence. And I'd like you to consider that for a moment. Consider the history of the Jews and all that it says in the Old Testament about them. Not only about their very existence, but their regathering into the land was prophesied by Scripture. But not only that, I'm talking specifically about this weekend in history when the Jewish leadership of Judaism rejected Jesus Christ and tried to cover up his resurrection. What about the Roman archives? The unbelieving Roman Empire, who believed in many, many gods. When Jesus Christ rose again on this morning in history, he changed history altogether. If you write a check today, or if you date anything, you're going to date that check today because of the resurrection, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Then there's a collection of writings called the Arco Volume. It was found in Constantinople, and now it's housed in the Vatican Library in Rome. And it holds the records of the hearings and the court proceedings of the Roman government, who when Caesar, after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, there was an investigation issued by Rome. And Pilate and Herod and all of these officials were called to give an account to Caesar on the events regarding Christ, Jesus, the one born of Nazareth. There was a Roman investigation. A grand jury, so to speak, was called. And the collection of those books are in the Vatican Library, and you can read about them, where Pilate gives his record of accounts of what happened concerning the Nazarene, Jesus. Pilate says it was an unbelievable thing that the people, for all the good that he did, they were united together to hate him without explanation. And he said it seemed as though the religious people themselves, most religious, stirred up the entire city against Christ. There's corroborating evidence even outside of Christianity. In Judaism, Roman Empire. But what about archaeology? The Bible still to this day, and it gives me a great deal of pleasure to announce it yet one more year again. The Bible is the chief book of consultation regarding archaeology of the Middle East, and for that matter, the world. The Bible's the chief book of archaeologists. Well, listen, not only that, but let's consider our second point this morning. When we explore the evidence, what do we find? We find that the death of Jesus Christ was predetermined. Everybody's asking. All of a sudden, everybody's concerned about who killed Jesus because of the movie The Passion. Have you noticed that? They didn't care before the movie came out. And then everybody said, well, it's R-rated. You know, it's R-rated. Since when has Hollywood cared about an R-rated movie? Isn't that interesting? Just a smoke screen to keep you from going to see it. The truth of the matter is Jesus Christ died. And listen, the Jews, the Bible says, killed Jesus. The Bible says the Romans killed Jesus. The Bible says our sins collectively killed Jesus on the cross. Did you know that? But the death of Jesus Christ was predetermined. Did you know that the Bible tells us that Jesus would come to die? The ultimate answer to who killed Jesus? Like it's some mystery. Fox News. Next, we're going to be interviewing Mel Gibson to find out who killed Jesus. The Bible says, by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for our sins. It was God the Father who sent Jesus to the cross willingly. Jesus went willingly because his life was predetermined and foreordained that he would die. There was no accident. Nobody murdered Jesus, per se. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once and for all for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God by being put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great news? Are you guys able to hear me okay? All right. I thought you had died there for a minute. Acts chapter 2 says, O people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing this great miracle, these wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But unknown to you, you followed God's prearranged plan that Israel, with help of the lawless Gentiles together, nailed Jesus Christ to the cross and by doing so murdered him. However, this happened exactly as God had planned. God released him from the terror of death and raised him back to life again because death could not be keeping him down, nor could its wicked grip hold him. Isaiah said, the Lord will demonstrate his holy power before our eyes as a nation, and the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Who else was crucified? Many. Rome killed millions of people by crucifixion. But how many people in the history said, I'm going to be crucified? And he said it for years, by the way, quoting scripture, thousands of years old, about his very, very death, saying that he was going to be crucified. Over 1,000 years before Jesus was born, King David prophesied that Christ would be crucified, that he'd be nailed through his hands and his feet. Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. 3 days later, risen from the dead. It was no accident. The Old Testament prophets before Christ was born announced that many were appalled at the sight of him. For his appearance shall be as one disfigured beyond any that of any mortal man, and his form marred more than the likeness of humanity. So he will sprinkle many nations, and the kings of the earth will shut their mouths when they see him. For what they were not told, they shall see, and what they have not heard of, they shall understand. Isn't it awesome that the greatest political power is one who came wearing a robe and sandals and riding on the back of a little donkey? The creator of the universe, says the Bible, clothed himself with human skin, and he suffered like we suffered. He laughed, he cried, he ate, he was hungry. The Bible says that he felt everything that you and I feel. And maybe this morning you have gone through so much in this life and you would say, Jack, I would love to believe your story, but I've had a horrible life. Maybe you've had a life of being molested or a life of just severe poverty or whatever it might be. And you say, how can God care about me? My friend, I do not understand, but I know this. God says that he loves you and that the very life you have lived, he is now poised and ready to turn that life around. And for those of us who have had a weird kind of life, there's something about it. When you're mocked, made fun of, rejected, scorned, abused, whatever it might be, when God comes into your life and gives you a purpose for living and you find out that Jesus died for you personally, then you know what? I tell you what, though you'd be a stuttering, stammering, fearful little guy, you can stand up in front of thousands of people on a Sunday on April 11th because God had changed your heart. He changed your life. His power is so great. You might be sitting here this morning saying, well, I got it all together. No, you don't. Well, apparently, Pastor, you didn't see the car I pulled up in. I got it all together. God has given you that car and your good health and everything else you have. And in a moment, he can take it away. So be careful. You may have strut into this place, but you better humbly walk out. For the Lord, he alone is King. He is the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus willfully died. Jesus said, I'm going to lay my life down. And when I'm done laying it down, I'm going to raise it up again. I've been alongside a lot of dying people, but no one's ever said, I'll be back. I've never heard that once.
Yeah, that's because it's never been done before, except by a man who lived in the Middle East some 2,000 years ago. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the pages of Scripture that tell us what is arguably the greatest account in history. Messiah Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after a brutal Roman execution. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to hear this very life-changing presentation in its entirety, or you'd like to learn more about Jesus, the risen Redeemer, get in touch with us here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Now, you can call us at area code 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And if you prefer the traditional method, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. 917-0709. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills declare to you that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.